Happy Thursday. I'm Gab. He's Jules. It's the Gab and Jules Show. We have quite a show today, Jules, because lots of stuff going on. We'll be getting into some Barca and their financial issues. We'll be talking into how United beat United, top versus bottom in the Premier League. Where else but in the Premier League do we get the top? Right? Whatever. I won't go there. I'll say that. We'll talk about Thomas Tuchel making his debut for Chelsea. But let's start at San Siro. Milan and Inter, Coppa Italia, the incident between Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Romelu Lukaku. This is something, it's trash talking, it's got so many layers, so many implications. For those who maybe were hiding under a rock and are unaware of what happened in the first half of this game, there's an incident between Romagnoli and Lukaku. It's a little slightly heated. Ibrahimovic comes over to defend his teammate. And words get exchanged with Lukaku. And at the beginning, they're just right up in each other's face. They do the thing where they...
You push.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, they go face to face and sort of their foreheads touch. Nobody goes down because they're not wusses like some people I could name. And it looks as if it's going to die down. And then all of a sudden, the words get really heated. And because we're in an empty stadium, we can hear what they're saying to each other. You can go and find out for yourself. And we can sort of hear. We have a pretty good idea about some segments, others we don't. You can go for yourself and find out. Gist of it is Lukaku completely loses his cool.
Like, and we've never seen him before, really.
A different player, you'd be like, fine, he's a hothead, right? But Lukaku has been ice cold.
Yeah.
So for Ibra, nothing new. We know he's a bit of a bully. We know he likes to wind up and provoke opponents. The instant reaction for many people was, did he say something racist? That has, from what we know thus far, as we tape this on Thursday morning, it's not a direct racist insult. Certainly, I believe, from what I've been told, if Lukaku felt he'd been racially abused directly, Lukaku would have let us know. Lukaku's been in the front lines fighting
against racism. The line is, Ibra says to Lukaku, go and call your mom and go and do your voodoo stuff kind of together, which comes back from a line that Farhad Moshiri, the Everton owner, said at the time when Lukaku was playing for Everton, didn't want to renew his contract, which meant that he left the club eventually to go to United. But the line is that when they were talking, Moshiri and Lukaku were talking, and Lukaku said, oh, I need to call my mum, and the mum was in Africa, and according to Moshiri, Lukaku said, oh, my mum was with the voodoo, and the voodoo said I should go to Chelsea.
Right. Which, at the time, Lukaku, and this is one of those things, right? I mean, you can, when you have a person of color, a person of African descent, and you bring up stuff like voodoo, all of a sudden, you know, I think that could easily be treated. And the Italian FA has opened an open investigation in this and said, you know, is this racist language here? Because, you know, you're dealing with stereotypes and whatever.
Yeah.
And also, Lukaku at the time got very angry about this. He said, you know, we're Catholic. You know, there's no voodoo here. I also kind of feel that Farhad Moshiri, maybe because he's a club owner, he got a pass at the time, right? No, I mean, people said, oh, what a stupid thing. Ha ha, look, Moshiri voodoo, hee hee hee, right? Nobody, there's no disciplinary action against Moshiri for saying this at the time. And this is where it comes from, right? Later, it gets more heated. They say nasty things about, Lukaku talks about Ibrahimovic's wife. Ibra goes back with Lukaku's mom.
Yeah.
At one point, it's not clear whether he wants to, because the words sound very similar, whether Lukaku threatens to shoot Ibrahimovic in the head or to do something else on his head.
On his head.
This all died down afterwards. Lukaku, as far as we know, spent the last 36 hours pretty much in silence. Ibrahimovic posted something because I think he felt he had to need to shoo away the idea that he said something racist.
Yeah. Paul Pogba as well. Paul Pogba sort of backed him up.
Yeah. Ibra. Although, again, just from a PR perspective, first of all, Pogba, you saying, oh, Ibra's not racist because he loves me too much. I understand the joke you're making. But because you have a very close black friend doesn't mean that you couldn't have said something racist.
No, true. Of course.
Also, there's a distinction, and this is the trap they always fall into, right? The issue should never be, are you racist? The issue should be, did you say or do something racist, right? And then the other person take it that way. That should be the central issue. And then, you know, Ibra coming out and posting a video of a little white kid and a little black kid hugging and whatever, nice message, but it doesn't address the issue. I think you address the issue of what you said and how you said it.
There's a few things there. The first one is, I mean, Ibra remembering this story about the voodoo, Moshiri, all of that, I find it 4 years on or 3 years on, it's okay. Right, you know, I had forgotten about
it. Yeah, but they had the same agent at the time,
yeah.
Remember?
And that's my second point. Romelu Lukaku left Mino Raiola, and I'm not sure Mino was very happy about it, to lose him to Roc Nation, to go
especially
to another
those
agent.
Guys.
Especially those guys. And when you know how close Latin and Mino are, there's part of me, maybe very in a very cynical way, who thought, you know what, maybe this was Mino and Zlatan, you know, having a go back at Lukaku for leaving them, for leaving the clan, for leaving the group, for leaving the team.
Maybe. I don't know. I think there's a lot to unpack here. I think the upshot, and we'll get to that. We'll delve into it a little bit further in our podcast segment, is that I think it raises issues of trash talking, of people losing their cool. One other thing, though, I just want to mention at the top, Christian Eriksen, because we didn't even mention the outcome of the game, right? I mean, tons of stuff happened in the game. The referee had to be substituted. But it's 1-1, Inter come from behind. Christian Eriksen comes on, and he hits a free kick. And all of a sudden,
amazing.
The ugly duckling becomes a swan. And obviously suggested Inter were trying to sell him.
Yeah,
now they're saying,
oh,
no,
we're
going to keep him. There's a lot more to it than that, starting with Eriksen's wages.
But quickly on Zlatan, the issue I have with the whole incident, the problem, is that Zlatan get a yellow card, like Lukaku, for the incident,
yeah.
But they get sent off early in the second half, which end up costing this team the game because they were pretty much in control.
Yeah.
4 days after the Atalanta game where he said, oh, our team needs experience, you know, I'm with kids here. And then he doesn't show by example, doesn't lead by example.
I think you just made a great point, and one which I have to confess I didn't think about. It is a little bit about Ibra, the character.
Yeah.
So before, he raises the issue about his teammates and experience.
And that's fine.
Whatever,
that's fine.
And fight, right?
Yeah.
In this game, it's not just the wind-up of Lukaku, which, by the way, in my opinion, they should have both been sent off. I understand why the referee didn't do it. He gave
them
both the yellow. Don't spoil the game. But you could have sent them both off. But in that game, after you've done that and you know you're booked, the second foul for which he gets booked
really stupid
is a complete
and useless.
Useless. Do you know who? Okay, so you have Alexander Kolarov, who I think the only thing slower than Kolarov on the pitch was the goalpost, right?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
He's running. You have Brahim Diaz, who's
already,
really quick, was already there, ready to challenge him. And Ibra comes in and sticks out the big boot, and there's a little trip. You know, a little ticky-tacky trip.
Crazy.
I mean, you want to talk leadership, you want to talk experience, you want to talk, you let yourself down on that front.
Completely.
And we're not talking about that. Nobody talks about this. And I wonder, though, Jules, I mean,
and you're 1-0 up at the time, by the way.
You're 1-0 up at the time, yeah. And in the end, I mean, I think most people would probably agree that 11v11, there's no guarantee Inter would have won the game.
Definitely.
None whatsoever.
And you know what? I was fuming watching the game against Ibra. And I obviously love Ibra, but I'm not a Milan fan. But I was fuming, and I was hoping that they would end up losing the game, so then I could tweet what I tweeted about it cost them the win by being so stupid 3 days after the Atalanta quote. And I was just waiting, and at 1-1, I was like, okay, please score a second one, so I can lay into him, because I was so cross.
But
so I can just imagine Milan fans, people at the club, Pioli, even his teammates, I'm sorry, for all the great you've done in the last 18 months, this is not acceptable. Not when you're Ibra, when you're 40, when you've got that experience, and even less when 2 days before, 4 days before, you moaned about, oh, look at those kids I'm playing with, you know, they don't know anything, they lack experience, blah, 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 and then you do something like that. Come on.
Is there a risk that this isn't Ibra, or this isn't Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the footballer, but he's become... Is Zlatan Ibrahimovic the character, the caricature almost of himself? Some of the stuff is fun and endearing,
point.
The taekwondo on the sidelines, but sometimes give it a rest. Enough.
But I would agree with you if he wasn't that good on the pitch. If he had passed it and now he was really struggling and then he had to almost change to still be relevant, because he was not scoring or not being well, he was, okay, this is what he's doing now. He loves the limelight so much. This is now the character more than the football player. But he's still so good and so important to that team that I don't understand why he felt the need to do that. And by the way, when I saw him coming back from the break and Lukaku, and you could have bet your house on between the two of them who was going to keep his cool and stay on the pitch and who could risk being sent off. You knew that Ibra at some point after what happened, after the clash with Lukaku, could do something stupid like this. But I didn't think he would, and I didn't think he would do so quickly after the break. It was mental.
Yeah. One point I want to make, and this is a more general point, and I wonder if it's something that we have to accept is changing in the game, right? One of the things that that some people pointed out in defense of Ibra about, you know, he got into Lukaku's head by mentioning his mom. We know how close Lukaku is with his mom.
Yeah,
we talked about it a lot of times. And I'm sure he's not the first person to have made comments about Lukaku's mom, because that's part of trash talking. Maybe it's the Lukaku plus the voodoo. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe this is why Lukaku snapped. But part of me wonders, right? And those people are justifying this kind of talk, this trash talk, right? And they go back, oh, but look at Michael Jordan. Yeah, he was our king of the trash talk. Even before that, if you're old, you might remember Larry Bird did this stuff all the time too, right? Trash talk is designed to get a reaction, right? And so to get a reaction, you have to hit areas that are sensitive. There are boundaries you don't cross, obviously. And look, we've all played sports in different eras. I played rugby. I played football. I did it too because I like to talk.
And, yeah, and me too.
You probably did as well. Yeah, although then probably somebody came and kicked you up in the air. But I'm wondering, should this exist in the game? Like, a lot of things have changed just because it's always been there, right? Should we be so accepting of like, look, you know, it's the same thing in cricket, right? They're called sledging in cricket.
Very recently, between India and Australia, it happened. Quite badly as well.
Should we put up with it? Should we celebrate it? Should we marvel?
Celebrate it. I think it's part of the game, and simply because some characters do it more than others. I don't think it's everyone out there. And it's not that. I know it's not everyone out there. Some players don't do it. They don't feel comfortable. It doesn't even come to their mind. Others like to do it.
Let me turn this around a little bit. Right?
Ibra has done that when he was in France. It was every single game. Neymar does it. There's a lot of them who do it. Is it a bad thing? If he gets within the boundaries of like, okay, don't say.
Is the boundary family? Is it the boundary your personal life? I mean, we agree that there's things that are out of bounds, right? We don't accept it based on ethnicity. We don't expect it based on race. We don't accept it based on sexuality, right?
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on religion. I hope we can all agree on that, right? But when you start talking about your mom, your sister, go back to Zizou.
Of course.
It's still accepted. It is accepted. Yeah. And I'm wondering, should it be? Because I'll tell you what, right? If Zlatan Ibrahimovic walks up, maybe not Lukaku, because he's a nice guy, but if he walks up to somebody bigger, meaner, nastier than him in a bar, if he walks up to Tyson Fury and he says that, right, on the street, Tyson Fury turns Zlatan Ibrahimovic into a little puddle of oil, right?
Yeah, he does.
But do it on a football pitch. Yeah, it's okay.
But Ibra does it because he knows he's stronger than a lot of them, bigger with a bigger mouth, probably better as well than a lot of them, right? If you look, I mean, Lukaku was a surprising target, to be fair. In France, when he was in France, he was often, the Saint-Étienne goalkeeper or the Saint-Étienne defender that he said, what's your name? Who are you? Okay.
That's funny. That's mean, but it's funny, right?
But usually the target was someone like that. Not Lukaku, and especially not on such a high-profile derby like this, I think.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things where I wonder if the world is changing a little bit, and we should be, you know, there's a lot of things that we took to be very tolerant, but we've been very tolerant of a lot of very hard training practices, a lot of sexism, and now things are changing. And, you know, I know you can be old school and say, oh, you're trying to be woke. I'm genuinely not. I'm just saying, does this kind of thing have a place in the game?
How do you rule it? How do you regulate it? What do you do? So, you know, if there's too much abuse, then it's a yellow and a red?
Maybe it depends on the kind of abuse. Look, you know, my first instinct was, all right, so you talked about your mom. I'm sure other people have talked about Lukaku's mom and he hasn't reacted, right? But I'm just wondering, like, should he be talking about his mom? Why should you have to put up with it? You know, if it's one thing if you want to call Lukaku ugly or you're rubbish or your first touch sucks. You know, we know all this, right? You know, Zlatan even made a joke when he came to. So he said, oh, yeah, told him I give him 50 pounds every time he trapped the ball correctly. You know, it's just fine, right? But has the boundary moved? I guess that's the question I'm asking.
Yeah, and it's a good question. And maybe family and wives and children and things like this is the one where you can't cross that line.
All right, ton of other stuff happened in the game. One thing I just want to mention quickly, the referee, it's not funny. Hey, he pulled a muscle, right?
It's been a long time since I saw a referee in pain getting a massage on the touchline, and I'm like, what is happening here?
He had to be substituted by the fourth official. What struck me was, how long did it take the fourth official to come on? And nobody's answered. I know there are some refereeing nerds.
The poor dude needs to warm up.
But he wasn't warming up. He didn't warm up. He spent all his time messing. He actually swapped his whole kit to communicate with a VAR. And I'm like, why are you swapping it with the ref? Wouldn't you have the same kit as the referee? Aren't you looped into those conversations? And also, did they have to go and disinfect his ear? But it just took.
I don't know.
Unless there's
a mic A, and if you're really the real referee, you deserve the mic A, and you can't have mic D. You know that if you're the fourth referee. But by the way, that added 10 minutes on because we played until 101 minutes, I think, and Eriksen scored on 97th. And had the referee not been injured, you don't know how that game would have ended. Eriksen might have come earlier, but certainly not as much added time at the end. I don't know. It was just an incredible, crazy game.
All right. Final point on Eriksen. Inter now saying, oh no, he's staying. Look, the real reason he's staying, or a part of the reason, is that Eriksen makes a huge salary, and nobody can pay that, nobody will pay that and a transfer fee to Inter. Inter having spent, I think it was close to $20 million to him a year ago, we can't just give him away, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Conte brought him on to take a free kick, essentially, at the end. he was there for free kicks and then
but
penalties.
He replaced Brozovic. And as you said before, there might be somewhere there where he can play a little bit deeper, maybe, and just be there to dictate the play.
This is what struck me again about Conte. I just don't think that this is healthy. After the game, when he talked about it, he says, oh, it's fantastic, Eriksen, la, la, la. I just wish he was less timid, you know. I wish he was, he had more of a reaction, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, again, with this macho nonsense, right?
He even trash-talks his own player live on television.
I mean, seriously, why don't you just deal with the fact, you nearly had arguably your best player sent off because he didn't keep his cool. Here's a guy who always keeps his cool. Yeah. Right? And by the way, all this nonsense about the intensity, and I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. He played for Spurs. He got to the Champions League final. Yeah. He came through in big games. He played for a Spurs that was a high-intensity pressing team under Pochettino. Yeah. And you're still going to go back with this down. Oh, look, he looks so effete. Sure, he looks
look
so...
At him.
I mean, honestly, this is like seventh grade stuff. Grow up.
Yeah, I know.
Enough.
You're right. You're right.
You know, play him, don't play him. It's up to you.
Yeah.
But enough with this idea. He doesn't need to go around like a maniac, like Arturo
it's
Vidal.
He's
a different personality.
It
really is.
He's obsessed
really is.
With that.
And you're not going to reach him that way.
Yeah, definitely.
You're not going to reach him.
Definitely.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. All right, Jules, enough Ibra, enough alpha male machismo. Let's talk about the man who is the opposite of the macho alpha male. That would be the large insect-like figure of Thomas Tuchel. On Monday, we talked about how Lampard was dismissed. We've all written about it. We've all given our reasons. We've all given reasons about why Tuchel came in.
Yep.
He made his debut, and he draws 0-0 at home with Wolves. He himself said, hey, I just had one training session.
Yeah.
Any conclusions you want to draw from this game?
So, I mean, one, Wolves at home for a first game, considering the run that they've been on and that they're going to come to defend
and park,
play,
the, bus,
and park
yeah.
the bus and the double bus, double decker bus, everything you want was not a great gift, but you know, they doesn't decide that. I had a message in the afternoon saying, what they saw on training on Tuesday night, the only training session, as you mentioned, is going to change a few things. You see the tactics is going to be different. It was indeed that 3-4-3. And do you remember, finally, we made a joke and we said, oh, maybe we'll play a bit like what Peter Bosch did with Havertz and Leverkusen, the 3-4-3, the two number 10, the magic box behind the striker, etc. It was not exactly that, but certainly there was a...
All right, let's just describe this for people who might not know what you're talking about, because you're talking about essentially two central midfielders, and it was Jorginho and Kovacic, no Mason Mount, and then effectively two attacking midfielders or number 10s or whatever you want to call them, who were Kai Havertz and Hakim Ziyech, right?
Yeah.
This was the Peter Bosz prescription.
Yes, it's very much that.
I kind of feel like I'm not going to judge it. Chelsea were poor. Chelsea didn't really create that many clear-cut chances. They had stupid amounts of possession, but that's also fine because Nuno Espirito Santo has his injury. So he said, like, you know, let's play the, you know, 8-0-2 formation, whatever. Do we have any indication this is something he'll do again?
So I think it was more for this game. But I think he can come back. I think we will see a lot of flexibility, for sure. I think it might be a very different formation against Burnley, both in the tactical formation and also the personnel. At the weekend, I know he's a big fan of N'Golo Kanté, so I've got no doubt that Kanté, whenever he's fit or ready to go, even if he's not fully 100%, will come back into this team. For Jorginho or Kovacic, I don't know which one, but we also know that Tuchel likes Jorginho. And Jorginho yesterday played straight in and had all those passes, and you know, it was...
All right, I got to say about this, okay? So Jorginho has a certain very specific image here in England, right? Where people say he's soft, people say he just passes the ball sideways all the time.
Yeah.
It comes from when he arrived with Sarri. My friend, who works in the world of data and analytics, made the point, basically he tweeted this, said like, should we tell Chelsea fans that Tuchel is basically an upgraded version of Sarri? And this is what they're going to get, Sarri ball. In other words, pressing high and possession and just a lot of the ball and a lot of passes waiting for the right moment. Because honestly, I don't know why. I don't know if Jorginho has body odor or something, but even last night, like, I was watching the highlights on the BBC after the game, and first thing guys is like, oh, look, people will be surprised to see Jorginho in there. And the next thing I imagine, like, oh, he's just a big turd who's worthless, right? But this is one of Tuchel's ideas. Yeah,
it is one of. It's part of his plan, 100% for sure. He certainly feels he needs someone like that. And I was not surprised to see Jorginho back in the team, as we said, like Rudiger and Thiago Silva, and even Azpilicueta to a certain extent. But again, he will have other options. He will have other plans. This is someone who could be very flexible, who is very, very good tactically. But he saw in Hudson-Odoi someone who could play that wing back role.
The Reece James role.
Yeah, let's see if he could develop into really that kind of player. But again, I think we will see different position, different plans, different ideas.
Just to wrap this, I think one point that I want to make is all this is different in terms of how Tuchel is going to be approached, because there's no fans in the stands. There was a big banner outside Stamford Bridge. Was it the circus continues? Something like that. Lampard was very popular with a large part of the... Do you think this is going to impact Tuchel? How do you think it's going to impact?
From what I was told, he doesn't think about it at all. I mean, he saw Chelsea and the Lampard play many times. He's watched all the recent games prior to
the game.
Will
it impact the players?
I don't know. I think he's intelligent enough to know that some of the players were really close to Lampard, others not at all, and that he will have to be very clever in the way he will approach this dressing room and deal with all of them. But I think he can. I think he can do it. I that's not a worry I have. So let me ask you this one, Gab. After the game, Tuchel said, okay, I think the fans will be happy, the Chelsea fans will be happy, because we had 16 recoveries of the ball in Wolves' last third. So it's like, okay, Thomas, this is you know, the Premier League, and I'm not sure fans or some of the fans are educated as much or as well as other fans that maybe he came across, especially in Germany. But what did you make of that?
The first thing I made is Chelsea comms department, do your job. Spend 5 minutes with him and say, listen, first impression, right? Don't start wheeling out the stats. Because if you don't get a victory to go with your stats, this is going to become a meme. We had 16 final third recovery. Listen, I am very pro analytics and pro stats, as you know.
And 16 is impressive. It's an impressive number.
I don't know what the benchmark is. Certainly recovering the ball in the opposition final third is a big deal to win. When you put a number on there, especially after a game where most people look at it and say you played badly because it's another game without a win, and then you don't deliver results after, this will come back and people will make fun of you for it. Are you on it? I mean, it's not just speaking to the fans. It's the
army. But you see where it was coming from, though. You see where it was coming from.
Oh, I see where it's coming from. No, it's worthwhile.
This is something important for him, and he also wants people to like him.
But it's not just the fans. It's the tabloid media. It's the army of ex-pros who will get paid to be pundits, some of whom are very good. Others don't like statistics and don't like analytics and don't like numbers. And they mock you when you bring up things like expected goals. I have some experience in that department.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, that was interesting to me. But look, I think everybody agrees that tactically he really, really knows his onions.
Yeah.
The concept of combining possession with a high press, that's how you win games. If you can do it properly and you can do it consistently. What I'm curious about is this isn't quite what he did at Paris Saint-Germain, or in the sense that, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about the evolution there.
Yeah.
Because there's also reality that if you have Neymar and Mbappe, well, first of all, if you're Paris Saint-Germain, most games you're going to have 60-70% of the possession anyway, right? Yeah. So you're not really working hard to keep that possession. You don't go and face Southampton where they run around like maniacs and try to take the ball off you.
No.
So it's easier to have possession there. And as far as the high press, we've seen Paris Saint-Germain do it very effectively in the Champions League. Equally, there's an argument to be made. Do I really want Neymar and Icardi to run around and press?
Do they even want that?
Does Icardi want to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't ask him to do that, did he?
No, he didn't at all. And that's where maybe he sort of gave up a little bit quickly on his ideas and why he wanted to do it. And maybe that would not have worked anyway. Maybe he would have fallen out with Mbappe and Neymar and Icardi and maybe not so much Di Maria, but because he would have pushed them a lot to like, okay, we have to be intense, we have to run, we have to get the ball back so quickly, we have to do this. He tried at time, but it didn't work. He certainly made them really strong defensively. There was a time where they were incredible defensively in the Champions League, in the league, against the big teams. So I think he had that side of him as well.
When you talk about them being strong defensively, I think this is a good point. Again, for people who maybe don't know Paris Saint-Germain, I want to make it clear that they have some exceptional defenders, and they have others who maybe not quite top shelf.
Yeah.
You know, he's working with old Thiago Silva. Now he's working with older Thiago Silva. He worked with Marquinhos, who's phenomenal, but then he moved into midfield, right? He worked with Kimpembe, who's, I think, potentially very good, but has a lot of highs and lows. His fullbacks, you're talking about, what, Bernat, people like that? We're not talking about...
No. It's certainly not,
You know, this isn't the Baresi, Maldini, Costa Curta.
Exactly. It's not the Milan
And yet
defense.
They were watertight at the back.
They were.
And that was
good.
Important because it allowed Neymar and Mbappe to take more chances at the other end of the pitch.
Yeah. The problem I had is that then he said to them, okay, we're going to defend at seven and we attack at three. Pretty much. There was a point where that was a tactic. And
which
like,
is not particularly very modern or very sophisticated.
No. And not very much
Tuchel. And
not very much Tuchel as well. Yeah. So I'm hoping that the Tuchel at Chelsea is a bit of a mix between the side in Paris of him who understood, okay, I can't be the disciplinarian all the time. You know, I have to be a bit more open to my dressing room, to the players. But also don't give up too quickly on your ideas and your philosophies and your tactics because it will be counterproductive. And he's got a very different dressing room at Chelsea than he had in Paris. So maybe his own approach would be different. From what I was told from the training on Tuesday night, there was a lot of enthusiasm. There was a lot of squeeze. There was a lot of press. There's a lot of run. There's a lot of this. Let me show you this. Let me show you that. And he's a very demanding coach when he wants to be.
That's a really good point. I think about the dressing room because we wrote a big piece. It's up on the site about how different players felt, different constituencies of players felt about Lampard. And one of the things to point out at Chelsea do have a number of veteran players who are stars, but they're not stars with leverage, right? No. The way Neymar and Mbappe were at Paris Saint-Germain. Olivier Giroud may be a World Cup winner, but his contract is expiring.
Yeah.
Kovacic, neither here nor there.
No,
Thiago Silva is old. Rudiger.
And this is a lie, anyway.
What?
This is a lie as well. You know, they're so close.
So I look at this and I say, okay, you can be more the disciplinarian.
Yeah.
You can make these demands. Because all these guys, frankly, all your older stars, they're all expendable, except for Conte, maybe.
Maybe.
And generally, if you tell Conte, hey, Conte, run more, he just says, yes, boss.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go do that, right?
And he wanted him in Paris, so he loves it. There's no problem there. But yeah, you're right. And I think that's why...
So we can see that side that we didn't see in Paris.
Yes, for sure. But he will also have to learn the lessons from Paris and say, okay, there's also people... This is a huge dressing room. Maybe bigger than the one in Paris, because in Paris he had...
Oh, definitely. He had a bunch of kids in Paris.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he did really well with the kids. And again, that's the thing I want. It's not because Mason Mount was on the bench on Wednesday night, or that Reece James was not on the was on the bench, or Billy Gilmore was not in the squad, that this is negative for the Chelsea youngsters. Thomas Tuchel loves young players because they do what he says, probably even more than what he wants them to do. So I've got no worries at all about the young generation at Chelsea whatsoever. But this is a much bigger squad than anything he had, and he will have to know how to speak to an Azpilicueta, how to speak to a Marcos Alonso, or Emerson, or Rudiger, or Kovacic, or Jorginho, or whoever, the ones who play, the ones who don't play, the one who play a lot, the one who don't play a lot, and all of that. And that's a side of him that we saw a little bit in Paris, because he was really close to the dressing room, and he had that relationship, certainly up to the Champions League final. After that, it got a bit more difficult. So... I'm fascinating to see what happens.
There is one elephant in the room, which is that this is a guy who in the last 3.5 years has been fired twice.
Yeah.
Borussia Dortmund, you know, he has a good first season, finishes second, supposed to be next big thing. Second year, the wheels come off. And he gets fired at the end of the season. They finish third.
Despite winning the cup.
Despite winning the German cup.
Yeah, yeah.
Paris Saint-Germain, again... You've run us through what happened. You're talking he lasted 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And he was fired. And if we believe what we've been told, he gets fired in part because of tensions with the club hierarchy.
Yeah.
So he showed he's a good manager with the players in Paris. Yeah. And the problem is, I think we can all say this, part of the reason Lampard went was tensions with the club hierarchy, with people within the club.
Yeah.
That's the part that I think gives me a bit of pause here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That he can be not difficult. I mean, maybe he's forthright.
No, I think he is.
You know. And those are difficult places, by the way. And Lucien Favre also didn't last very long.
Yeah, yeah.
And at both clubs, you have a lot of high-profile people above you.
Yeah.
Who speak out often, right? I mean, Borussia Dortmund continuously. It's Watzke.
Yeah.
It's
Zorc.
It's Zorc. It's Kehl. It's all these guys. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, but you know.
Yeah.
Completely. It's not easy, right?
No.
And obviously Paris Saint Germain is even worse. At Chelsea, they're a little sneakier. Nobody talks. Marina Granovskaya is a mute.
Yeah, but you know they talk.
Nobody knows who he is.
They don't talk publicly, but you know they talk.
The stories come out.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And
how does he navigate that?
That's the thing. And we said on the show on Monday about he will find a very similar environment in many respects to the one he had in Paris. And I'm really, really hoping for him that he's learned from his lessons in Paris. You can't publicly criticize your hierarchy, your people above you, your sporting director. Certainly not the way he did it. You can't pick a fight like this with a Leonardo, with a Vatska, with a Granovskaya, with a Peter Cech. That's not going to work for you. And I'm really hoping that now he's getting a bit older, he's had those experiences, as you mentioned, he's so intelligent that surely he can see, even if he's very stubborn and his own man, he can surely see, okay, this is where I made a mistake, or this is where I could have done differently or should have done differently. So for now, it will be all good, but maybe in a year time, we will see those cracks and those tensions coming back.
I think it's going to be a tremendous story either way.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast.
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough TT. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Manchester United lose at home to Sheffield United in one of those top-bottom clashes. Jules, it's the magic of football. Is it just a blip for Solskjaer? And are you okay with a disallowed goal?
So I'm not okay with a disallowed goal. I thought it was a fair goal completely. I'm not sure. I still don't understand why.
You don't think Maguire runs into Ramsdale?
Not really, no. He's jumping. I think Ramsdale has the ball. He drops it.
Yeah, Nat Lofthouse used to do that all the time, so I guess it's fine.
But they're just, United never really turned up. No attitude, wrong attitude, no creativity, no idea. Bruno Fernandes went AWOL. Paul Pogba was certainly not as good as he was before. And I don't think Solskjaer did his best to change the way the game was going at 1-1.
But you loved the defending on that second goal, didn't you?
Oh, my God. I mean, they're just standing there. It's like Subuteos. It almost looked like they couldn't move. It was Subuteos.
It's weird though, because this comes after a very lively performance in the cup. And
maybe they were tired. Maybe it's part of it.
But by the way, can we show some love for Billy Wilder and Chris Wilder
and Billy Sharp
and Billy Sharp? Yeah, I know they kind of meld into one. No, I love the fact that they keep going. And did you notice they had like 4 people on the bench?
Yeah,
like, seriously, last night they couldn't fill their bench.
Missing.
Unbelievable.
No, well done to them. Paul Pogba, staying with United, will hold talks with United at the end of the season. And he says that he and his teammates were effectively cheating the club with some of their performances. Gab, this would be quite a turnaround if he was to stay.
It's remarkable. And I mean, look, if he extends his contract and he stays, I honestly would love to go and, like, you know, this is a big sort of finger in the eye to all those people said he's a cancer, get him out, destroy him.
Overrated.
You know, if he gets a new deal and he stays,
then
it's because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wants him to stay. So I think that's significant. It also, obviously, there's a global pandemic.
Yeah, that's the context.
So, you know, that is the context of it, but it would still be pretty remarkable because he could still run his contract down and name his price. Barcelona come from behind to beat Rayo Vallecano in the Copa del Rey as Lionel Messi makes his return and they hit the woodwork 3 times. Jules, this is more impressive, no? No.
They also went behind.
They come from behind. It shows character.
Okay. Listen. the one thing I would say is that Frankie de Jong's, I was going to say transformation. That's why I waited a little bit. But the level that Frankie de Jong is playing right now, and I don't know if that's is down to him, to Koeman, to the work that they've done together on his own, the team around. I don't know. But okay, this is another level, and he's the boss of this team, and he almost on his own.
The boss of this team when the little man isn't there, and
no, but even okay, Messi is the, of right, course Messi is the boss. Yeah. But de Jong has been so important, not just last night in the Copa del Rey, but the last 2 games before and plays at another level. And that's the positive for me of that game. Not much else.
All right. Okay. Hard man to please.
Sticking with Barcelona, El Mundo revealed the side of the debt, which stands at nearly $1.5 billion, and suggesting there's a risk of bankruptcy. Gab, this can't be right, right?
Well, it's right that this is the size of their debt. They have to publish their accounts, and this is the reality. Now, a lot of people don't really understand debt. People have asked questions, oh, well, what about financial fair play? There's a bunch of different reasons. There's different kinds of debt as well. This is very serious. We've been talking for a long time. A lot of people have talked for a long time how they have to make serious cuts, and they don't have any money. And that's why they paid Luis Suarez to go away. They're not going to go bankrupt because debt can always be renegotiated. You are kind of kicking the can down the road, and it's a difficult balance to strike because you want your team to remain competitive so you can keep getting money from the Champions League and whatnot, not damage your brand. But at the same time, you know, you can't become insolvent. We've been through some of the reasons why they're in that situation. We don't need to go through it again. But
This is not a financial fair play issue. This is a bad business decision.
Completely bad.
Liverpool play Tottenham Hotspur in a few hours as we tape this Thursday morning, and Mourinho takes the opportunity to say that when he didn't behave well, he paid the price, unlike some others. Jules, who could he possibly be talking about?
I don't know. That's a good question, Gab.
Surely wouldn't be the manager he's facing on Thursday night, right?
No, you're right.
That tall German man?
Yeah, you know, before he's already said, oh, you know, if I was talking like club, yeah. I would have been sent off, I would have been this, which makes this game even better, more important for both teams. Everything you want is going to be fascinating. No Ronaldo, but Juventus dispatched Spal 4-0 in the Coppa d'Italia. Gab, this was pretty easy for Pirlo, right?
Yeah, it was easy. Look, Spal had bigger fish to fry. And as far as Juventus, what was nice, what I liked, is he played a bunch of kids, which shows that a lot of people talk about promoting kids and trying to change their model that way. Pirlo's fully embraced it. Well done him. Arsenal get a big win at Southampton a few days after losing there with a much-changed side in the FA Cup. Jules, this was a good performance, and this was without Aubameyang, without Tierney, without Udegaard, who, of course, has just arrived.
Yeah, I thought it was really impressive, Gab, I have to say, the way they pressed, counter-press as well, as we saw on the first goal, the Pepe goal, the high line at the back, maybe almost catching Southampton by surprise. I'm not sure Southampton expected Arsenal to come at them the way they did. And I thought they were really good, especially to come back from a goal down. So really, really impressive. Good momentum. And also just a quick word on Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who was not there for personal issues. His mum is really ill, and we wish her, of course, a good recovery and speedy recovery. And also, please, people, stop spreading lies and things like that everywhere on social media. When you don't know why he's out, don't assume or don't spread lies, because I think some of the things written about Aubameyang was not very nice.
I'm going to go out, though, and again, blame clubs.
No, but he did it. He did it yesterday. He did explained it. No, why. But
I'm saying,
something very private as well, Gab.
Look, the problem is this was a private matter, and we should respect that. And he came out and he told us. He didn't have to tell us, right?
Yeah.
The problem I have is clubs in the past have used the terms, oh, he's out with a private matter, when in fact, you know, maybe somebody was busted doing something they shouldn't have or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So clubs, don't cover for people. Don't say it's a private matter if it's not, because this is what then leads to the rumors. If he doesn't feel comfortable saying, look, I'm not here because my mom is unwell, that's his decision. It should be only his decision.
Yeah.
But clubs have created this situation for themselves.
Manchester City beat up West Brom 5-0 and at top of the table. No De Bruyne, no problem. Well, at least for now, Gab.
Yeah, West Brom, I mean, it's hard
better if
work.
I don't talk.
Yeah, and look, once City go ahead, they're rolling, the movement, everything's great. I think what I find interesting is he's tried different solutions, and I think in some ways, without De Bruyne, he said, I can have so many different creative points of attack, right?
Yeah.
And I think that gives him another layer, and I think that's part of the reason also why we're seeing less of the center forward, right? We don't see Jesus. We used to think, oh, they have to have a finisher in there. Yeah, no, they don't.
And I think Laporte coming on at the end and for what really looked like a 3-1-3-3 looked very, very interesting, I think, if you're a City and City fan.
The British government has tightened quarantine requirements for people arriving from a number of countries in South America, Southern Africa, as well as Portugal, removing the so-called sporting exemption. Jules, this means a bunch of players, including Alisson, Firmino, João Cancelo, and others, could be sidelined for 10 days upon their return if they play in the March internationals. Does this make sense to you, or does it mean they might not go?
I understand it. I think even if that sporting exemption was sort of taken away, I still think they will find another way of making it happen. We've seen it in the past, and I know this is a bit different, but I would find it really strange if those players were not allowed to go and to come back without having to quarantine. This is probably be the right thing to do for them, but with all the bubbles and things, they might be okay to do
that. They will be allowed to go. They can't stop them from going. It's a question of when they come back.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just hope there's no player who says, oh, I can't go because I don't want to upset my club. No, that would be really bad.
Yeah, that would be bad. Andrea Agnelli says losses in European football, and we know that he's the chairman of the ECA, could be far worse than expected, as much as 8.5 billion euros over 2 years, which is twice what they predicted earlier. Gab, what are the implications if that numbers was to be true?
Well, they were hoping to come back to play with some number of fans in the stands. Obviously, that's not happening around Europe. The implications are there's not much money, and I think this battle over the Super League and the TV rights is going to get worse. Obviously, Agnelli alineated, he's in line with UEFA right now. As things go on, who knows?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jules, let's play Captain Hindsight. Given how serious the situation is with COVID and losses, do you think Borussia Dortmund regret not selling Jadon Sancho to United for less than the $120 million asking price?
Maybe. Maybe they do. Maybe they're thinking like, oh my God, what have we done? What have we done? And what are we going to do now? Because one, he's not playing at the level that he was before. Two, they're certainly not playing well. Three, no one has any money. And four, you might have to keep him another year again because... Is there anyone who's going to come for him in the summer?
Which means you'll probably have to extend his contract for another
year.
It is pretty remarkable. I mean, again, I think people are still in denial about the impact that this is going to have, the situation that clubs are in. You know, the transfer window closes next week, right now, the January
Nothing
one,
has happened.
Right? Very little has happened, you know. And, you know, it is funny. You know, at the time... Dortmund said, no, this is our price. We're sticking for it. And a lot of people praise them for it.
Yeah.
And maybe it was the right strategy at the time. But equally, I think, you know, United look at this and say, hey, if he still wants to come, we kind of dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, definitely. Bayern starlet Jamal Musiala is eligible for Nigeria, England and Germany. But Gab, his future could be sealed next month.
That's right. There's reports in Germany saying that he's going to be called up. And, hey, maybe he'll go and... He'll go in and pick the Mannschaft.
I know. I don't know.
I wonder what it must be like, though, if you're Musiala and say, like, you know, I can plot my own path. I mean, obviously, he's not the only one in this situation.
Yeah.
He's eligible for multiple countries.
Yeah.
But would you pick, given the amount of talent in his position and young talent, would you pick Germany over England? Just purely from a sporting and self-interest. Or would you go Nigeria?
I really don't. I mean... Okay, you can pick Nigeria and you've got more chances to play in that team and to go to World Cups and Africa Cup of Nations, but you don't have as many chances to win something,
yeah.
Or certainly not the World Cup, as if you were playing for Germany and England.
And England? Because England wouldn't...
Well, no, they don't, but you know why.
Yeah, no, I get your point.
Maybe you go Germany. I mean, maybe it's a feeling that he has with
the players that he's played. He's going to make an emotional decision as much as a sporting one. And that's right. That frankly, is the way it should be.
Definitely.
Thomas Tuchel scores twice as West Ham United beat Crystal Palace 3-2. Jules, they're in the Champions League zone. They're fourth in the table.
Incredible.
They're ahead of Liverpool as we record this. How about some love for David Moyes and for the Czech goal machine?
David Moyes, not so much, but the Czech goal machine, I'm all in. Tuchel is brilliant.
David Moyes, not so much. He's fourth in the table.
Yeah, he's fourth in the table, in a season that is...
All right,
but good. He's doing a good work. You know, no problem. You know, Benrahma is my boy, so he's a wonderful player. No problem at all. Suchek, this is his Fellaini. This is Fellaini 2.0. He's find him. He's going to take him everywhere with him. Now, wherever he goes next, Suchek is going to come. No, I'm happy for West Ham, for their fans, after especially all the trouble that the club's had in the last few years. They deserve stability and success, and they have it for now, so enjoy it, because I'm not sure how long it will last, though.
And I'm happy for David Moyes.
Yeah, I'm happy for David
Moyes. He's a good person. He's a good person in a field where there's some
people. Yeah, that's true. Atalanta go down to 10 men early in the second half, but still beat Lazio 3-2 in the Coppa d'Italia to advance to the next round. Gab, they continue to amaze.
They do. They're not playing a bad team, Lazio. They get a man sent off, Palomino going off early in the second half. And they go and they score the winner with Miranchuk. And, you know, they had some guys out. They still go for it. They still score a ton of goals.
The depth in the squad is interesting, yeah.
There is a lot of, which is why Papu left. There is a lot of depth in this team. People don't fully appreciate that. Leicester and Everton draw 1-1. Jules, who looked better?
Neither, I thought. I thought it was a pretty even game. You know, and maybe in the second half, Leicester edged it a little bit. It's, watching the game, I thought, we were spot on Monday when we talked about Leicester. Was it Monday or the week before? About the post-Vardy era. Because, okay, he's not there. And he's not there for a while. I don't think he'd be back before mid-Feb, maybe. And, okay, you've got Ayoze Perez. You've got Iheanacho. This is not the answer.
No, but they can still create in different ways.
Yeah, but I wonder if at some point maybe...
Looked good again.
Would you try Maddison as a force number nine? Would you try as a De Bruyne?
We might see Maddison in that position sooner rather than later. I genuinely think so.
I'm just thinking, you know, they got a point at Everton. It's a really good point for Leicester because it looked like at some point they could lose that game. But certainly, again, the post-Vardy era and replacing Vardy would be far from easy for them.
I thought Leicester shaded this game. I'm an Ancelotti fan. I'm sorry.
It takes a lot from you to say that.
Carlo probably agrees with me. But equally, you could look at it the other way and say, Jordan Pickford, again, not covering himself in glory.
No, again.
You were kind to Pickford.
I thought about being harsh, and then I thought, I'm on a good day today. Yes, you know. UEFA meet with all 12 host cities for Euro 2020 in 2021, of course. And President Alexander Seferin says the plan is to go ahead as planned. Wishful thinking, Gab?
I think it is wishful thinking. And to be fair to Seferin and UEFA, he said, as of right
now
we're going to do this, but we're going to revise things. I think they're going to make a call in April. And I think that's what we're going to find out. Are they all going to be in a bubble in one country?
Yeah.
What's the travel going to be like? What's vaccinations? What are the borders going to be like? There's so many things up in there, and there's so much riding on it, from ticket sales to sponsors to broadcasters.
Yeah.
Look, we got to deal with the reality. There's bigger things, and we just have to be flexible.
Definitely.
Sevilla defeat Valencia 3-0 in the Copa del Rey. Jules, the party rolls on.
Yeah.
And Papu Gomez is on his way.
The Papu dance is coming to you, Sevilla. I mean, the second goal, especially if you haven't seen it, check it out, because they pretty much go from their own box and then create an amazing, amazing goal where pretty much all the team touches the ball, and De Jong with the finish, the Suso cross back is perfect. I mean, everything is great in that goal, and they're very impressive. As we said, it's such a shame that they lost those games against Eibar, against Granada earlier in the season in La Liga. Otherwise, they'd be closer to Atletico Madrid.
They're super impressive, and look, I don't know Lopetegui.
Yeah.
I don't think he behaved well in the past. There's many reasons to dislike him.
Yeah.
But the guy is a brilliant manager because you know what? Apart from obviously Koundé and one or two others, there isn't a lot of talent in this team.
No,
now there is because Papu's there.
Oh, Papu's but you know what I mean? Like, he's going to slot in.
He's making the best out of the group of players. I mean, Rakitic is just there on rep only, and because he loves the club.
Ocampos
is up and down. Suso is one dimensional.
Same, yeah.
Remarkable.
No, incredible. English referees have been told to modify the interpretation of the offside rule to avoid situations like the one between City and Aston Villa when Rodri, who was offside, challenged Tyrone Mings, leading to a City goal. It's a good idea, right?
Sometimes I feel like we're living in a parallel dimension in this country. No, seriously. So when this happened, and for those who don't remember, Rodri was clearly offside. The ball goes back out. It comes back in. Mings chests it. When he chests it, Rodri goes to challenge him because technically a new phase of the game has begun. And then he loses it, and City score, and Dean Smith gets upset, and he gets sent off, and whatever else. Right? That's what happened. We both said, these are the rules.
Yeah.
These are the laws of the game. Right? There's scope for a referee to interpret it, but these are the laws of the game. You should have known that, you know, a new phase starts when this happens. Or at least that is how the referee can interpret it. All they've done here, and I love it because English media made it seem is like, oh, FIFA have changed their mind and IFAB. No. FIFA and IFAB haven't changed anything. The PGMOL, who gives guidance to referees on how to interpret things, basically told, hey, referees, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Right? When he's clearly, there is scope for interpretation of when a new phase of play begins.
Yeah.
That Tyrone Mings chest could be interpreted as a new phase of play. It could not be interpreted. They've been told to prioritize the dynamic, whatever language they use. Basically, they're saying, be smart, use common sense, use the discretion that you
have. Which they should have done in that game.
Which they should have done in that game.
Yeah.
You know, and then the reason I got annoyed is because people were coming out and saying they didn't know the rule. That's not acceptable. You do this for a living. You should know the rule.
Yeah.
And you should know you're at risk of this happening.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't... Like, at least hopefully we won't have these ridiculous reactions again.
Exactly.
Jules, here's a stat you might appreciate. According to WhoScored.com, since the start of last season, Lionel Messi and Kevin De Bruyne have created the most clear-cut chances in the big five European leagues. It's 47 that they've created. No surprise there, right?
No.
But can you tell me who's just behind them with 45?
Is it one of my boys?
It is one of your boys, and it surprised me.
Well, seeing how many games he's played compared to others, is it Angel Di Maria?
It is Angel Di Maria.
Angelito, what now, a player. His contract runs out in June, and they're talking. He's been made an offer by PSG. I think he will stay now that Poch is there too. But
I need to know more of this, because if it were just assists, I'd be like, okay, easy. Just pass the ball to Mbappe and Neymar, and they score. Yes. But these are clear-cut chance creation. There's other metrics that go into it. That's some pretty heady company he's keeping in Messi and De Bruyne.
And even if at times he's still a bit inconsistent to my liking, there's some games that he disappears a little bit. But he's been fantastic for us, no doubt. Gab, Chelsea's women team are unbeaten for 32 consecutive games. Are you impressed? You must be impressed.
I am not as impressed as I would be. People say, oh, look, they set the record. And I'm going to apply the same standard that I apply to the men's game, okay? This is the Women's Super League record, which was created in 2011.
Yeah.
Guess what? Women played football in England before that.
Yes.
And the record, and I have to cite this because the record is so much bigger. The record is 108 games unbeaten. And it didn't happen in the 1950s. It happened, I think, between 2004 and 2008.
Alex Scott's Arsenal.
Arsenal ladies, right? Yeah. So, yeah, celebrate women's football history as well. 32, not impressive compared to 108.
But Chelsea are really good.
I'm sure they're really good.
Well done to them anyway.
Well done to them anyway. Right, that's all we've got time for today. But, Joe, should we come back on Monday? Do this all over again?
Let's do that.
How about that? Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.